And so as we come today, we must realize that all of this is for God's glory. Man's chief end is to glorify God. Now, how do we do that? And we have some practical steps in mind today on how to introduce into our lives to become sola Deo gloria in all that we do, according to this text. Whatsoever therefore ye do, whether ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. It's a joy to be on the air to bring the message of the gospel to you, and I hope that you are walking in the light as the Lord is in the light. The Bible tells us that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now today our Bible message is living for the glory of God. And the mandate is given in 1 Corinthians 10:31, which says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And I trust that you are indeed seeking to do that as a Christian. It is not a matter of being saved and doing as we please. No, we want to please the Lord, not as we please, but as the Lord is pleased. And our delight is to serve Him, to worship Him, to walk with Him in the light of His Word. And so a true Christian is an obedient Christian. And the mark of our obedience is our loyalty to the written Word of God. We begin our message here today with this hymn, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee.
Jesus, the very thought of Thee, with sweetness fills my breast. But sweeter far Thy face to see, and in Thy presence rest. Nor voice can sing, nor heart can frame, nor can a memory find a sweeter sound than Thy blessed name, O Savior of mankind.
Text today is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. During the month of October on Sunday evenings, I've been preaching on the five solas of the Protestant Reformation. These are five principles, five maxims of biblical worship and ministry. You have sola scriptura, the word of God alone. Sola Christo, Christ alone. Sola gratia, grace alone. Sola fide, faith alone. And then the fifth one, sola Deo gloria. It is that fifth one I want to return to today. How we may be men and women who live sola Deo gloria. The very motive of the Christian's life and service must be this, the glory of God alone. If there's any other reason why you've come to church this morning, you're off track. If you've come just to please a friend, if you've come just because you've nothing else to do, then we have lost sight of the great purpose of worship and of our very attitude in the house of God. If you're looking around to see what someone else is wearing, or how loudly they're singing, or how healthy they appear, those are observations that are natural and reasonable. We make those things, but that's not why we're here. It's between you and God. Between you and God. And on the great eternal day, we'll give account of how we worship Him, how we walk with Him, and of the very motives of our hearts. And that's the most fearful thing. You know, we can take these hymns and we can sing the best of hymns, the best of psalms. We can come to the Bible and feel that we have the best English translation, and we can rehearse certain things and call it worship. But what about the desire of our hearts? And the Lord asks us for our hearts. Son, give me thine heart. And so as we come today, we must realize that all of this is for God's glory. Man's chief end is to glorify God. Now, how do we do that? And we have some practical steps in mind today on how to introduce into our lives to become sola Deo gloria in all that we do, according to this text. Whatsoever therefore ye do, whether ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So it's from the great things in life to the minute, eating and drinking, how we do our dishes, how we set our tables, how we order our homes, how we dress, how we discipline our lives, the sleep we get, and the discipline of getting out of that bed and serving God with all our gifts and with all our energies and with all our abilities. It is more than just being a pilgrim detached from this world. Rather, it is the motive for living. And I wonder, is that very motive, desire, planted in your heart? And by this maxim of living sola Deo gloria, you will cross the Rubicon into a new purpose of living. What am I doing today? I'm serving God. And that applies whether you are a banker, a baker, a butler, or all the other professions that begin with B, whatever they are, whatever you're doing in life, you have a vocation, a call of God to do all to the glory of God. And so what I want us to do today, I have five areas to exercise this sola Deo gloria principle. How do we live? Let me give you the five things first of all. We're to live, firstly, as pardoned men and women. Pardoned. You cannot live to God's glory if you're living under guilt. You cannot live in the power of the gospel to God's glory if you're living daily under a cloud of guilt. So that's the first thing. We've got to live as pardoned people. We also need to live as praying people. Praying people. There's no way that you can live to God's glory and apply this great principle if you're not a man or woman of prayer. Thirdly, we need to be a purpose-driven people. I know in Christian circles today, purpose-driven has that context of mass-marketed religion. But we'll get to that. Then also we need to live as practical, godly people. This is not the old adage, oh, this man is so spiritual, he's of no earthly use. He's so heavenly, he's of no earthly use. No, this is practical. This rate comes down to the very tangible activities of every day. And then fifthly, we will be a persevering people, living to the glory of God. There are times when you'll want to give up, but it's not about me. It's about God's will and doing God's will in my life. And then we need to be a persevering people. So let's go through these five things today. Do you need me to say them again? I want to get them well kneeled in your mind before we go through them. Live as a pardoned man or woman, a praying man or woman, purpose-driven man or woman, living in practical godliness, and then persevering to the glory of God. Firstly, then, we need to live as a pardoned man and woman. Of course, this is easy to deal with when we grasp the other solas: Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone. And if we have grasped those very powerful doctrines of the gospel, that we are saved, our sin is dealt with, we are pardoned by grace, the free mercy, undeserving mercy of God, we are justified by faith alone, now I am to live not as a slave to sin, not under the burden and bondage, I'm an awful sinner, but in the joy of liberation, in the delight that my soul is set free, I'll never be in hell, and I'm going home to glory. Now, here are some marks of the pardoned man. Firstly, he will be loyal to his Lord and Savior. Christ is first, because we owe him everything. Once we were a guilty, lost, hell-bound soul, ready for hell, but our Lord Jesus alone settled the account for us. And by his death on the cross, he has set us free, and he now is first. If you're living to God's glory, if you're living in the pardoning victory of the gospel, then Christ is everything to you. He is precious to you. He is worth more than the world to you, more than money, more than prestige, more than all the adulations of men. And I trust that as you come to God's house to worship today, Christ is all to you. You want to hear a sermon about your Lord. You want to hear the Word of God expounded that will exalt the Lord Jesus. As a pardoned soul, I want to hear more about the wonderful Savior who set me free from my sin. Loyal and in love with the Lord Jesus. The pardoned sinner is truly in love with the Lord Jesus. A story I've told a number of times, and I come back to it with great delight, of the slave girl in the marketplace. And when she was standing trembling in the marketplace with all those eyes that were upon her as she would be sold off to the highest bidder, she wondered what her future would be, and there, trembling, not knowing what was to become of her. The auction went on, and she was sold to the highest bidder. But he bought her to set her free, not to make a slave of her. And so he, told her personally or let her know, you're free to go. I didn't buy you for myself or for my service. I bought you to set you free. And then at the end of the day, as he was making his way home, he heard these footsteps behind. The slave girl that he had bought to set free was now following him. Now, she didn't understand what her liberty meant. She didn't understand what it meant, but it did. She understood her debt and her need for gratitude to the one who bought her to set her free. Now, if you understand your liberty in Christ today, if you understand what Christ accomplished at the cross to set you free from sin, you will be loyal to Christ. You will love him. There will be a new love in your soul for the Savior, a love that is overflowing, a love that you want to express, a love that enters into your worship. You see, worship without the love of Christ, what does that mean to God? God delights in his Son. He says, this is my well-beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And only as you delight in God's Son, only as you love him and express your joy in him, does your worship bring glory to God the Father. Worship that is in a mere cathedral, worship that is in a mere building, extolling the architecture, extolling the ambience of a holy place. Without Christ, Without this joy of loving the Savior, it wouldn't matter what form, it wouldn't matter what words, it wouldn't matter what sounds are offered to God. If it's a Christless worship, it's empty. And so the sola Deo Gloria person, worshiping to the glory of God in the pardon and the power of the gospel, is set free. And then, of course, we go forth to labor in that freedom, zealous of good works, zealous of our ability and our freedom to work for the Lord.
Jesu, our only joy be thou, as thou our prize wilt be. Jesu, be thou our glory now, and through eternity.
Now, because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean you're done with good works. The difference is that your delight in good works is because you're pardoned. And you want to glorify your Lord by showing forth your faith in Him by your good works. Now, let's look at a couple of verses on this, lest we get all tangled up in my little reasoning here. Let's turn to Titus chapter 2. And verse 13. Titus 2 and verse 13. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldliness, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, and who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. So there's what He's done for us. He's redeemed us. He has set us free from our iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, when you speak to people about good works, you think about buying salvation. No, it's not. To the Christian, to the sola Deo Gloria man or woman, the good works that you are to be zealous of is that you might display the glory of God in your life, a peculiar people, a set-apart people, a special people, zealous of good works. You see, this grace, this life living by faith in the liberty of the gospel, it doesn't make you lazy. It doesn't give you a mandate to be lethargic and do nothing. No, it's the message that stirs up your soul to serve God. And when you go to the book of James, he takes this up without any reservation whatsoever. And in James chapter 2, verse 17, you find that he emphasizes this over and over and over and over. It seems to be one of the main thrusts of his book. And the book of James is really an antidote to the lawless person, the antinomian, the person who has no thought of serving God. And James is saying that if you've got faith, then we've got to see your works. If you're going to glorify God in your life, we want to see your works. James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And he really insists that if you're going to talk about your faith now, if you're going to talk about being living for God's glory, we want to see your works as a pardoned man, as a pardoned woman, because you're enjoying what the Lord has done for your soul. And so the pardoned person enjoys grace, and because of that grace wants to display his loyalty and his love by serving the Lord. And so we could bring back this text, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, as a pardoned soul set free. So he's a pardoned man. Secondly, he's a praying man. That's the next thing. This maxim, do all to the glory of God, I think really should be attended with a second maxim. Do all by prayer. Do all by prayer. You see, if you're living for the glory of God in the joy of forgiveness, and you want to display God's grace in your life, you'll want to make sure that you are in communion and in fellowship with Him. Grace, when rightly understood and applied to our hearts, it shows us how empty we are. It really ties into the text we had here this morning, that God shows us our weakness. And when we came to Christ as a sinner, we realized we were bankrupt, with nothing to offer God. We were lost, condemned, undone. And now, as pardoned sinners, pardoned souls, now that we are forgiven our sins, we still feel our weakness. We feel our emptiness, our powerlessness, living apart from our Lord. And this drives us to a life of prayer, a life of communion and fellowship with our Lord and with our Savior. And we take those words of our Lord Jesus to heart. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. And so the person who's living sola dea gloria will live a life of prayer, a life of real personal communion with the Lord. Grace and faith in the power of the Spirit, it sets true converts a-praying. Now, we're commanded by our Lord to pray without ceasing. He says men ought always to pray and not to faint, that in all things by prayer and supplication we're to let our requests be made known unto God. And of course, we soon learn through our failures that only what's done by prayer in the strength of the Lord and not on our human flesh, we soon learn that only what's done through prayer achieves anything. When you read the life of King David and all the enemies and the battles that he fought, every time that an enemy came against him and he prayed, Lord, shall I go up against these Philistines? Shall I go up against these enemies? What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord told him exactly what to do every time he conquered. But then there are times when David didn't pray, and the enemy came out and David just assumed it was time to go to battle. Here are these enemies. I've got to deal with them. And he goes in his own strength without prayer, and he's defeated. Now, let me tell you, that'll happen in your life too. And you will soon discover that without grace, without God's power in your soul, and without His blessing, that all your efforts are failures. And you will soon come to the point, through grace, through this desire to glorify God in your life, you will come like the disciples and say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And you as a Christian, you must go into the school of prayer. There is a new school of prayer for every Christian, where you must learn to lay hold on God, to plead with God, to lay hold on God's promises, to make them personal to you. The Lord says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And without a life of prayer, you cannot live the sola deo gloria life. You're still living confident in the flesh. And let me tell you, the further you go on in your Christian life, the more you will learn to rely on the Lord and not on yourself. It's not a matter of building yourself up the ABC building blocks of the Christian life, and then you stand on the plateau, and there you have victory all the time. No. You realize that you're walking on marshy ground, and every step has new dangers and new possibilities of falling, and you need to live a life of prayer, and you need to live in the grace and the power of God. Now, let me ask you, are you doing that? Are you a person living for God's glory? Have you realized the need to be a man or woman of prayer, real prayer, earnest prayer? I don't think anyone could say, I'm living sola dea gloria for the glory of God alone, if they're not daily in prayer. You couldn't do that. That would just be impossible.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Ian Gallagher, and it is a privilege to have this opportunity to minister the Lord's Word to you. I have a little booklet here called Pardon for Sin and Assurance of Peace with God. It is a 32-page booklet that will enlighten you on the way of God's salvation and all that is in Christ Jesus for the believer. For example, there is one little section here called Why Christians Are Happy. And there's quite a number of pointers here. They are pardoned and saved. When a man sees that he has sinned against God thousands of times and that his sins deserve hell, when he sees that Christ has loved him and borne the punishment of all those sins and they are now forgiven and forgotten, will he not rejoice? Does a sailor not rejoice when he is saved from a watery grave? Reader, would you not be far happier if you knew that your sins were forgiven? At present, you dare not think of death or of the judgment or of hell. When the Spirit of God brings these things to your remembrance, you try to drive them away. The Bible says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." That's Psalm 32, verse 1. Then the other headings are God loves Christians and they love him. Christians hold communion with God, talking to God and God talking to them. Christians are happy in overcoming sin, in pleasing God, and in doing good for their fellow men. And of course, this little booklet will be a guide to you. I'd like to send it to you. It's called Pardon for Sin and Assurance of Peace with God. And if I can be of any personal help, feel free to give me a call here at 1-800-969-1091 or go through our website. There are some helpful resources, helpful articles, sermons online. Our sermons from our church are archived on our website, and you can go there and listen to them and anytime. And so also remember our live webcast of our church services here in Cloverdale, 10:30 and 6 p.m. You can go on to our website and listen in live right at those times, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. But of course, there's nothing like coming along, joining with us for the preaching of the Lord's Word. Now stay with us for the announcements today of our ministry here at Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious Word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.